Goodyear, the greatest name in rubber. The star, Walter Pidgeon. The story, Paul Gallico's Thief is an Ugly Word, with Agnes Moorehead and Eric Rolfe, and the music of Alfred Newman. The star and the story, brought to you by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. The public benefits because
it's a forward-looking company.
It's a versatile company.
It leads in research.
It's Goodyear, the greatest name in rubber, bringing you the greatest names in entertainment. And here is your Goodyear host, Walter Pidgeon.
Thank you, Toby Reed, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we tell the story of an American. American as you and I know Americans. Level-headed in business, with a strong sense of justice and, well, a streak of sentiment that wide. The title of our play is Thief is an Ugly Word, adapted by George Travis from the Cosmopolitan magazine story by Paul Gallico. I will play Augusta Swinney. The talented actress Agnes Moorehead will play Countess Amalie. And Eric Rolfe will play Dr. Carl Dariega. And now, Alfred Newman, music, if you please. My name is Augustus A. Swinney. I'm in the telephone book as a refrigeration engineer. I have a simple philosophy of life that two and two add up to four, a theory which has been shaken at times. For example, I was in Amsterdam back in 1938, dining at the home of a business acquaintance, Mynheer van Schoven.
Mr. Swinney, you enjoy the Javanese coffee?
The nectar of the gods, Mynheer.
I am fond of the mellow things of life. At my age, I seem to find a satisfying companionship with them.
Mynheer, I must ask you about the picture hanging over the fireplace. It's a Rembrandt, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to take my eyes from it. How it lives.
It is called the Old Woman of Harlem.
Ah.
My ancestor, Piet van Schoven, received it from Rembrandt in payment of a debt.
Ooh, what a payment.
The story is told that my ancestor considered himself badly paid.
Your ancestor lived before his time.
Yeah, you see, Piet made a pair of laden boots of Spanish leather for Rembrandt. The leather cost him 11 florins. He did not consider the picture worth it.
How do you feel about it?
I feel that that picture is not just an art treasure, but is one of the richest, warmest parts of my life.
I can quite understand that. And I think I shall never forget this evening, Mynheer. That was in 1938. Since that night, the Germans have brought their new order to Amsterdam. I heard that van Schoven, penniless, had been forced out of Holland and was a refugee in New York.
What can I do for you, sir?
You have a department engaged in locating stolen works of art, I believe.
Yes, sir. Second floor, Metropolitan Museum of Art, office 214.
Thank you.
And what is the art object to which you wish to lay claim?
The Old Woman of Harlem by Rembrandt.
Great heavens, are you that van Schoven?
I was.
Do you have proof of ownership?
The picture has been in our family for generations. I believe your expert, Mr. Chester Allen Buskirk, knows.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Buskirk. He's a little too internationally art conscious for us. At present, we can do no more than list these properties and the whereabouts of their rightful owners. Germany has stolen so many that there's very little chance of their being recovered. At least until the Germans have been defeated.
Thank you. I quite realize that.
Thank That same day, early in January 1944, I was at a cocktail party in Buenos Aires. The occasion was the exhibition of a new art treasure, just acquired by Alfonso de Piranha, millionaire art collector, and sponsored officially by Dr. José Caldoriega, Minister of Culture of the Republic of Argentina. I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid I spilled a little of your drink.
No, not at all. I wasn't looking where I was going.
May I help you to some caviar?
Oh, yes, indeed, but not quickly. You see, food is a ritual with me. I like to taste, to savor, and possibly to reject.
Or enjoy?
With the complete ecstasy of one who likes to call himself a professional epicure.
A very pleasant business, huh?
Now, here, for example, is a real triumph. You see these paper-thin slices of colored ham?
Oh, I know about that. Westphalian, isn't it?
Genuine Westphalian. Perfectly cured.
Yeah, and delicious, too.
Oh, I haven't tasted one, a real one, for years.
The secret lies in the process of smoking. But have you ever tried one of our old Argentine hams? They are first soaked in wine for weeks.
Oh, you surprise me. You're an American, aren't you? How did you know?
I'm a refrigeration engineer with a meatpacking company. If you would care to sample one...
Oh, unfortunately, I'm flying back to New York tomorrow. See, I flew down only yesterday at the invitation of Dr. Caldoriega.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
Voila, mon ami. Well, here is the lady, as I promised.
Ah, oh, my sweet. I have been desolated. I thought I would not see you.
I always know when you are in town, my friend.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. May I present... I did not catch your name, sir.
Swinney, Augustus Swinney.
Countess Amalia, may I present Mr. Augustus Swinney?
How do you do?
How do you do?
You know De Piranha, of course?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Of course. Now, if you'll forgive me, I must have a moment with you, De Piranha, before we look at the picture. Will you pardon us?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
I've been watching you since I came in.
Why?
Shall I be polite, or shall I tell you the truth?
You do not look as though you need directions.
All right, the truth. I've seen you twice before.
Oh?
Once on the Calle Florida, and once at the Hotel Continental. Since then, I've been conniving to meet you. Does that make you angry?
No, not at all. I saw you scheming. That is why I came back. It is always flattering to a woman when she sees an attractive man make up his mind to meet her.
By the way, who was that little man who introduced us?
That is Mr. Buskirk, the art critic.
Buskirk?
Yes.
The greatest living expert on the old masters? Ooh, there is a more important exhibit here than I had thought.
Why do you say that?
Well, for the good doctor to fly Mr. Buskirk down from New York adds up to a pretty important project.
Possibly.
I'm trying to determine your nationality, Countess.
Oh, it is a blend.
Ah, a blend that has inevitably resulted in a very beautiful woman.
You don't waste much time, do you, Mr. Swinney?
I don't have much time.
The doors to the library opening. I couldn't interest you in going to see what we came here to see, could I?
Oh, but of course.
Have you heard what the picture is?
No, I haven't.
I understand it is Rembrandt's Old Woman of Harlem.
I don't believe it.
Why not?
Oh, because even the Germans wouldn't dare.
If you will look up, Mr. Sweeney, you will see that somebody dares.
I still don't believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will ask Mr. Chester Allen Buskirk to examine the picture and verify the authenticity. Mr. Buskirk.
My friend, this is unquestionably authentic. Unquestionably Rembrandt's Old Woman of Harlem.
Oh, what a picture. How it lives.
I used those same words once myself.
What would one not give to possess such beauty?
That's exactly the word, possess.
You sound bitter, my friend.
To possess the Germans have charred and blackened and defiled all of Europe.
Softly, Mr. Sweeney. Every nation is represented here. Come, let us talk to Mr. Buskirk. I must hear more about a picture like that.
Yes, by all means. Let's get the opinion of the professional epicure.
A magnificent emotional experience, isn't it?
Oh, the devil with your emotions.
I beg your pardon.
Have you ever heard of such a thing as ethics?
Art is not concerned with ethics, sir, but with truth.
Monk, you know perfectly well to whom that picture belongs, and yet knowing it, you identified the picture for a bunch of Nazi thieves and cutaway coats.
Van Scholen may have sold the picture.
Did you inquire?
That is none of my concerns, sir. I do not deal with property rights, but...
You're as bad as they are.
You are insulting, sir. I am here as the guest of a government official. I shall see my host.
Oh, you have hurt his feelings. I can tell from the expression on his back.
This is revolting.
You're quite sure of your facts.
Certainly I'm sure.
It was all so very pleasant before we saw the picture, Mr. Sweeney. You were so flattering, so attractive, and you are now a very grim man. I don't think I like you so much when you are so grim.
Then I think you'd better meet me someplace else, not here.
Well, that sounds more like the man I thought you might be.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the presence of this great painting under the roof of Signor de Parana, congratulations are due to this great art patron of Buenos Aires.
I can't stand much more of this.
Quiet, you must be quiet.
Ladies and gentlemen, that picture has been stolen. That picture was stolen by the Germans from Jan van Schoven, a Dutch refugee now living in New York. I am removing this picture, which is the property of no one present, and taking it into custody until it can be returned to its rightful owner. I will ask you to remain exactly where you are.
The curtain has fallen on the first act of Thief is an Ugly Word. In a moment, we'll present Act Two. Meanwhile, imagine, if you please, four airplane engines, their propellers whirling at 2,000 revolutions per minute. Now imagine the pull on those engines, the vibration it means. Such vibration would be staggering to the flying instruments of the plane and to the nerves of the crew. Yes, it would be, but for one seemingly simple device, rubber engine mounts, which cushion the engine and isolate that vibration. Now, engine mounts made of rubber cemented to steel. Some time ago, a cement was developed to do that job. It was a cement made of natural rubber. But recently, with natural rubber so scarce, a cement made of synthetic rubber had to be developed. So Goodyear, with 20 years' experience in synthetic rubber, took the job on itself. It wasn't easy. Many had failed before. It took months of experiment. It meant going the long way around, making synthetic rubber, turning it into powder, then turning the powder into a liquid of amazing adhesive power. But as has happened so often before, Goodyear leadership in rubber research led to success. Goodyear developed the new rubber-to-metal cement made of synthetic rubber, and so strong it keeps metal and rubber fast together, even under the terrific strain of a powerful airplane engine or a rolling tank. Thus, another achievement of Goodyear rubber research for the benefit of the public. And this achievement is but one of many, even greater public benefits still to come from Goodyear's magnificent new research laboratory. For here it's the law that every Goodyear product must be better today than it was yesterday, better tomorrow than it is today. And now Act Two of Thief is an Ugly Word, starring Walter Pidgeon with Agnes Moorehead and Eric Rall. When the crowd came to from the impact of Augustus Swinney's daring, they flowed out into the street in pursuit. There was nothing to be seen of either Mr. Augustus Swinney or the old woman of Harlem. Later in the library of De Parana, Der Call der Ego is talking with De Parana and the Baron von Schlugger. The Countess Amalie sits quietly listening.
It is of the utmost importance to the government that no hint of this is permitted to leak out. We are dealing, obviously, with a man who is either drunk or insane. Until this picture is recovered, I must insist on silence.
The truth is that you're in a pretty fix, my friend.
If you will permit me, Herr Baron, so are you.
I will handle this my own way. Who is this maniac?
His name is Augustus A. Swinney. He is an American engineer. He lives alone in an apartment at 17 Avenue La Quintana.
May I ask, Amalia, how you happen to have such intimate details about the gentleman?
I'm interested in him. And I have a feeling that he will not respond to your message.
I think it would be wise if I were to visit him and persuade him to return this picture.
That is a far better means than force. I do not think he will take kindly to force.
If you do not succeed, Dr. Calderiega, we shall take steps. If this man escapes...
My dear Baron, consider the utter impossibility of an American leaving the country with one of the most valuable pictures in the world. However, should your persuasion fail, I believe... I know how to handle this situation.
Hello, Gabino.
Good evening, senor.
I'm expecting some visitors.
Meantime, will you put this package on the mantelpiece? Don't take the burlap off it. Leave it wrapped just the way it is.
Si, senor.
Just set it up there against the wall on the mantel. And when my visitors come, I'll answer the door myself.
Gracias, senor.
Ah, Dr. Caldariega. I rather expected you.
Yes? May I come in?
Please do. Won't you sit down?
You are Mr. Augustus Swinney.
I am.
May I inquire if this demonstration of yours is a practical joke?
It is not.
Mr. Swinney, we will overlook your behavior if you'll permit me to leave with the picture and restore it to Senor de Parana.
The answer is no.
Ah, I see. And what do you intend to do with it?
Keep it until I am able to restore it to its owner.
The owner is Senor de Parana.
Stealing is a matter for the police. I suggest that you go to them.
This is no question of the police at this moment, Mr. Swinney. What is it you really want?
To return the picture to its actual owner.
Suppose no proof of previous ownership exists.
The Germans have shown their usual thoroughness in destroying all records and proofs of ownership in connection with their national thieving expeditions. Here, Doctor, is one they missed. Let me quote you a line from the Baedeker, Belgium and Holland. Page 257. Here it is. I quote, "First floor, third room on the right, is hung Rembrandt's masterpiece, Old Woman of Harlem, on loan for 5 years by its owner, J. Van Schoven."
Uh-huh. But do you really believe, Mr. Swinney, that you will be able to remove this picture from Buenos Aires?
Yes, I believe I will.
You are playing a dangerous game, sir.
Yeah, so are you, Doctor. Your name appears as sponsor of the exhibition of Senor de Parana.
Senor Swinney, the picture standing there on your mantelpiece can have world-shaking implications. Don't you realize that there will be other forces interested in the repossession of that picture?
That is your worry as much as mine. I wish you luck, Doctor, and good evening. Good evening.
Oh.
You wanted to see me?
Mr. Swinney?
Swinney, yes.
Von Schleiger, German Embassy. We will speak about this picture.
Very well. Whom do you represent?
It is not a question of whom I represent. The picture must be returned immediately.
I don't recognize your authority.
By what right do you presume to keep this picture?
The right of immediate possession. You had it. The Parana had it. Now I have it. I got it the way your government did. I took it.
Let us lay all the cards on the table, Mr. Swinney. We wish the picture returned. What is your prize?
I'd have to get in touch with the owner, Van Schoven, from whom the picture was originally stolen by the Germans.
So, you ask for trouble, sir. If you attempt to remove this picture from Buenos Aires, you do so at your own risk.
Thank you, Baron. I will let you know when it gets to New York. And by the way, I usually shoot at burglars. Who is it?
It is I.
Amalia. Come in. Well, this is the first pleasant surprise I've had tonight.
I'm relieved that you are surprised. I was afraid that you might misunderstand.
There's been a big parade through this door. First, Caldariega. Second, the Baron von Schlager.
I noticed, however, that the picture is still on the mantelpiece.
And I have noticed that the doctor has 5 plainclothes police standing quietly in front of the building.
Oh?
I haven't been able to make up my mind whether they are there to keep me in or to get me out.
You have put yourself in a very dangerous position.
I'm afraid they're planning a siege. I sent my houseboy out some time ago for food, but I'm afraid he's been detained. I'm flattered that you are here.
If you misunderstand my coming here, I shall hate you.
How could I possibly misunderstand?
You know, this is really a terrible thing for me to do. But I simply had to come. I had to see you and that picture again.
And by coincidence, we both seem to be here. Huh?
I see you wrapped it. Is that to keep me from seeing it?
No, just to measure protection.
Oh, why should I pretend? I didn't come here to see the picture at all. I came here to warn you. I had to come to tell you what I felt. I have thought of nothing but you and your courage to do this thing for our people.
Amalia, your concern is flattering. You sound as if you really care what happens to me.
I do care. I can't help myself. And now I'm afraid.
Afraid?
Yes. Yes, for you, my dear. I tell you, you're in great danger. A moment ago, what you had done seemed the bravest, the noblest deed in the world. And now...
My darling, we're wasting time talking. Amalia, come here.
Oh, how I hate that picture. It will come between us, and we've just found each other.
But Amalia, what can we do now?
We can't fight them alone. You are just one man. You don't know their power. I beg of you, give up the picture.
And that, my dear, gives you away completely. Let's be honest. You have a big stake in that picture. I'd be utterly stupid to let you go on believing that I didn't know you were sent here by von Schlurger. But, my lovely Mata Hari, it won't work. Much as I enjoy your charming company, I'll have to ask you to leave. Go back to von Schlurger and tell him you failed. I have to admit I felt a genuine regret when I saw Amelia go out the door. I'm only human, and she was a mighty attractive woman. I locked the door after her, heated some coffee, and set myself to the task of staying awake. During the night, I did a lot of thinking, and among other things, thought of Mr. Chester Buskirk for the first time since I'd insulted him. I was a little sorry about the way I had treated him, and wondered how I could make up for it. Well, I got an idea, all right. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. I was shaving, and, well, I nearly cut my head off when the idea hit me. I went to the telephone, which I was sure was tapped. Hello, Miss Harris. Mr. Swinney speaking. I may not be in for a while. Might be a week. If anything turns up, you can reach me at home. Make sure those bills of lading are taken care of, will you? And put Miguel on.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Hello, Miguel. Have we any of those special hams left, you know, the old ones soaked in wine?
I'm not sure, senor. Shall I look?
No. It isn't necessary. I remember now. I put one aside for myself. It's in the locker number 9. Look it up and attach one of my cards to it. Miss Harris will give you one. Have her write on it my compliments and apologies. Got that?
Si, senor.
All right. Now then, get in your car and take it out to the airport and deliver it to Mr. Chester Allen Buskirk. That's Buskirk. Got it?
Si, senor. Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. Goodbye. After that, I looked out the window to see if I had a new shift of guards for the morning. They were there, and obviously they were there to wait me out. About 1 o'clock, the phone rang.
Senor Sweeney?
Yes, Miguel.
The Senor Buskirk received the ham, sir. He said to thank you.
I'll never forget those next 3 days as long as I live. The second night without sleep was bad, but the third was plain hell. The fourth morning was Thursday, January the 13th. Somehow I got myself into a shower, shaved, and put on a fresh white suit, and went out the door, without so much as a glance at that package still resting on the mantelpiece.
Yes, this is Dr. Carl Derriega. Yes, what? Swinney has left. At the Continental? No. Do not enter his apartment until I arrive. I will come at once. I imagine you have found that the skeleton key useful before, Herr Baron. But if you will turn the knob, you will find that the door is unlocked.
You've been here before today, Doctor?
Wouldn't your spies have told you?
Oh, still here. I will help you unwrap it, Doctor.
The frame. It's empty.
And the note. I should have used my own methods in the first place.
The note is addressed to both of us. I will read it to you. Dear Dr. Carl Derriega or von Schlurger, will you oblige me by returning this frame to Senor de Parana or whoever owns it? The old woman of Harlem is now in New York City. I beg that you will believe me and refrain from ransacking my property.
very truly yours, Augustus S. Swinney. Waiter.
Si, senor.
Would you mind getting me the papers at the desk?
Certainly.
And bring me a martini, please.
I don't suppose I could have one, too.
Amalie.
I'm thirsty.
Then sit down. At least you don't have to stay thirsty.
Here are the newspapers, senor.
Ah, thank you. A martini for the countess, please. Let me read this article in the paper. I think you might find it interesting, Amalie.
Yes, yes, please do.
It's a New York Associated Press dateline.
Oh?
It says, negotiations were completed today for the acquisition by the Metropolitan Museum of Art of Rembrandt's famous canvas, Old Woman of Harlem, from its owner, J. Van Schoven, Dutch refugee, for a price reputed to be $400,000.
That is very interesting indeed. But how did the canvas get to New York?
A busker took it with him.
That's impossible. Besides, he left 4 days ago.
And with him, he took an Argentine ham, around which was wrapped the Rembrandt canvas. Sometimes I think Buskirk is a greater epicure than an art critic.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, you see, when I left the cocktail party that afternoon with the picture, I went directly to the refrigeration plant, covered one of the hams with cellophane paper, cut the canvas out of the frame, and wrapped it around the ham. A few Packers rubber stamps completed the job. You'd be surprised how much the back of a canvas resembles the smoke-stained wrappings of a ham.
And the canvas was never taken to your apartment?
No, just the frame.
Well, I might have saved myself that trip if I had known. But I'm not sorry.
Ah, but I am. And to you as a woman, Amalie, I apologize.
As a woman, there is no need to apologize. At no time did you say I was unattractive.
Amalie, you're wonderful. I was going to propose a toast just now to the Old Woman of Harlem, when suddenly I realized that she had been dead for, more than 400 years.
So?
So, I give you a toast.
The toast to me, then?
To you, Amalie. You are very much alive, and only a fool bears a grudge against a beautiful woman. Waiter, two more martinis, please. Thank you, Agnes Moorhead and Eric Rolfe, for your fine performance. And now, Toby Reed with a word of something that is really a matter of life and death. And that is, Toby?
A blowout, Walter. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a blowout in one of the tires on your automobile. Did you ever stop to think that if you're driving at today's top speed of 35 miles an hour and the blowout swerves your car into an oncoming truck, which travels at the same speed, the resulting crash has a force of 70 miles an hour? Now, that's enough to double you right over the steering wheel and push the engine through the dash. Yet there is actually no need for a blowout to throw your car out of control, not if the car is equipped with Goodyear lifeguards. For the lifeguard is an inner tire, a two-ply safety tire within a tube. It replaces the conventional inner tube, and if your outer tire and tube blow, the inner tire of the lifeguard remains inflated, holds the car steady so you can come to a sure, safe stop. That's the kind of blowout protection your family needs, and such sure protection it is that never once has a lifeguard been reported to fail. Never once. Think it over. Ask your Goodyear dealer if he has any of the few lifeguards now available. If so, equip your car with lifeguards, which are now ration-free. For remember, when your tire blows out, the Goodyear lifeguard never lets you down. Walter Pidgeon appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producer of the Technicolor musical, Bathing Beauty. The music on this program was composed and conducted by Alfred Newman, general musical director of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor picture Wilson, soon to be released. Next week, Walter Pidgeon will have as his guest Claudette Colbert and Margaret Lindsay in No Time for Comedy. This is Toby Reed saying good night on behalf of Goodyear, the greatest name in rubber. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.